As parents, we work overtime to give our offspring everything they need to ensure that their childhood surpasses what we experienced as children. But sometimes, in our zeal to lavish them with love and provision, we overlook what our sons and daughters need most. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his message called Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us. In Proverbs 3, we read, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights."
May we bow for prayer together. Our dear Father, we so desire that everything be well within us. We long for good health, and we pray for our loved ones, our friends, our family members who are physically not well. We pray that you will do what only you can do. Doctors prescribe, but you alone heal. We pray that as a result of your hand of favor, that it might be well within the bodies of those who today suffer deeply. We long to be well mentally, to have one thought follow another in a logical and appropriate manner, so that decisions are made that are wise, and courage is applied as it teams up with conviction to stand for what we know is right in this world that is so tragically adrift. We long to be emotionally well, where we're able to take the hammer blows of affliction and endure them. We're able to press on, even when misunderstood or maligned. We pray, Lord, for emotional wellness, so that we might have relationships that are truthful, not hypocritical, that our words would be true, not deceptive. And give us strength of emotion so that we are not insecure and afraid of others or of circumstances. But most of all, may it be well with our soul. Deep within, where only your scalpel, your razor-sharp word is able to pierce and to touch us in the soul and the spirit, may we become well. No longer unhealthy, no longer pursuing those things that are not good for us, and especially in the realm of sin. Remind us, our Father, that my sin, oh, the bliss of this thought, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross. We bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. For these and 100 other things, we pray as we find ourselves the recipients of your blessing, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. In the name of the only one who can make us well, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us.
To reprove is to risk saying the hard thing. It is to point out what needs to be addressed. It's caring enough to confront. How valuable are friends who love us that much? Reproof isn't condemning criticism. It isn't a public rebuke that embarrasses. It isn't an angry outburst. Reproof isn't constantly finding fault. So if you're going there, stop going there and reverse your direction. Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, we read of a reproof everyone would agree with. It's called divine reproof, and it happens rather regularly to Christians. Proverbs 3, verse 11, my son. By the way, this is in the my son section of Proverbs, which runs from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 7. My son, my son, my son. This is counsel a daddy is giving a son. This is counsel for the family. My son, he says in chapter 3 and verse 11, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. Notice it's from the Lord, or loathe his reproofs. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. I love the way that reads. God doesn't reprove us because he despises us. Oh, on the contrary. He loves us so much, he cannot hold back from reproving us. And haven't we all experienced it? Maybe no one else said anything, but you knew when you went to bed that night, you shouldn't have said that day. Or when you reacted as you did at the office, you shouldn't have reacted like that. You really owe them an apology. That's called a reproof from God. When you know that your temper has flown off a handle, or you've gone too far, you've been overbearing, then the Lord reproves you and he reveals that to you. There isn't a voice in the night. There isn't handwriting in the sky from God. There is just a deep down sense of conviction, good conviction, the right kind of guilt that says you need to get this, you need to make this right. Don't despise, don't reject the discipline of the Lord. He's reproving you because like a father with a son, he delights in you. A reproof is hard to hear. One of my mentors said to me years ago, I'll never forget it, Chuck, you have a great sense of humor, but unfortunately, it's often at someone else's expense. He was right. That's why my humor was often back then sarcastic. And sometimes I would say things that would embarrass one in the room, but everybody else would laugh. But the one person who didn't laugh is offended at my expense. If someone is to look foolish, I ought to be the one that looks foolish, not someone else. He was wise to tell me that needs to be corrected. I've heard another reproof from one who loves me more than anyone else. And she has said to me, you are impatient, sweetheart. And I will say, no, I'm not. And she will say, no, yes, yes, you are. For example, and then she'll mention something that revealed impatience, and then it's even to the point where I tend to finish people's sentences. Of course, you don't have that problem, but I often know what they're trying to say, and I help them say it. How arrogant. How discourteous. People I talk to are well able to finish their own sentences, but if I'm so impatient, they won't be given an opportunity. So I've been reproved. Don't do that. Just listen. Patiently listen. Now, we read in Proverbs chapter 15 the same type of thing. Verse 5. Look at this. 15:5. A fool rejects his father's discipline. We saw one in our series already. He was called the prodigal son. Who cares what dad thinks about his inheritance? I want it now. I've got it coming, give it to me. That's a fool that says that does that. Scripture says that. A fool rejects his father's discipline. But he who regards reproof has a lot of sense. You gain wisdom beyond your years when you learn from reproofs, especially if you open your life to a few friends who feel the freedom to tell you the hard thing. Sometimes you may even invite it. Sometimes it comes uninvited. But when handled well, it benefits. Look at verse 10, strong verse. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. You know what? There are iron bars on that verse. It's called a prison. Many wind up there because they forsook the way. They ignored wise reproof. They didn't listen to their mom and daddy. They fell in with wrong friends. And wouldn't you know it, grievous punishment followed. In fact, he who hates reproof, the verse ends, will die. I call that serious. You are going to an early death by hating reproof. And in the process, you kill the spirit and heart of others. Will you let this sink in, parents and children who live under the same roof? You will not hear this in school today. You will not hear this in the public square in our day. It is the child that rules the school, the home, the family. How tragic. How wrong. It's parents who relinquish their role of authority. Peace at any price. That isn't peace. That's releasing to society those who can't control themselves. By the way, years ago, Dr. Siegel wrote in the Stanford Observer, I quote, "When it comes to rearing children, every society is only 20 years away from barbarism. 20 years is all we have to accomplish the task of civilizing the infants who are born into our midst each year." Using strong words, he continues, "These savages know nothing of our language, our culture, our religion, our values, our customs of interpersonal relations. The infant is totally ignorant about communism, fascism, democracy, civil liberties, the rights of the minority as contrasted with the prerogatives of the majority, respect, decency, honesty, customs, conventions, and manners. The barbarian must be tamed if civilization is to survive." Born into your home is a barbarian because they have your nature. They need to be directed correctly or they will live their lives wrong and it will impact others wherever they go. And so we read in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 31 and 32, "He who neglects discipline despises himself." Isn't that an interesting statement? You show that you really despise yourself when you turn off the wise discipline. "But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding." You meet someone with understanding, they've been reproved, and they have learned understanding. It's that third dimension that so many people need to be around and so few people have. Verse 32, "He who neglects discipline despises himself." Look at verse 31. "He whose ear listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise." How true that is. Let me ask you something. Are your friends wise friends? Are they good for you? Evil company corrupts good morals, 1 Corinthians 15, 33 states. You run with evil, you'll become evil. You run with those who are undisciplined, you will begin to live an undisciplined life. And here's the result. Look at verse 33. "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and on and before honor comes humility." Love that. In order for reproof to be received, there must be appropriate humility. There must be the willingness to say, you know, if there's something that's going on that I don't know about, I'd appreciate your telling me. I need to know. Cynthia and I have a very good friend, now dead, who was a fine psychologist and passed along to us a principle that we never forget and often quote. People have a right to know the reason behind the feeling you have for them. Again, people have the right to know the reason behind the feeling you have for them. Friend with friend, you know, I've noticed there's a little distance between us. Has something happened? You know, I noticed when I want to get with you that you seem to always have a reason not to now. Have I done something? Have I said something? And you, with humility, listen. And it's amazing when you hear the reproof. I'll tell you before it happens, it will sting. It will hurt because it's often inadvertent. It's called a blind spot. You don't deliberately offend. If you do, you're really sick. But you don't deliberately offend, and so you're not aware of it. But you are in need of knowing about it. All the more important that the friend reprove you. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline, isn't this an interesting line, despises himself. But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. Two promises I notice in these verses. First, you will dwell among the wise. When you accept reproof, you will ultimately dwell among the wise. Second, you will acquire understanding. When I meet someone who has the quality of understanding, I meet someone who has benefited from the reproof of their parents and their friends. Let this sink in. Let it make an impact on you so that you remember it. Parents who are reluctant to bring needed reproof neglect doing their job. And as a result, your children will grow up not really respecting authority. Again, another characteristic of today's times. They will lack understanding. The same for friends and marital partners and colleagues who hold back, who adopt a peace at any price kind of mentality. You'll live to regret that. And let's face it, some people are just about beyond reproof. They have made such a habit of it. I want to go to one verse and kind of analyze it in more detail. Look at 27:6. If you're looking for a verse to memorize, I suggest Proverbs 27:6. I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, I memorized the verse. Can't tell you how many times I've called it to mind or shared it with other people. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Look at the verse. Just study it with your eyes. Here's a literal translation from the Hebrew language. Trustworthy are the bruises caused by the wounding of one who loves you. Trustworthy are the bruises caused by the wounding of one who loves you. Deceitful is the flattery of the one who hates you. We live in a day of flattery. The political realm is filled with flattery. It's empty. It's stupid. It's hypocritical. The person making the statement doesn't mean what he or she is saying. The person hearing it knows it, but acts like he's loving the words, when in fact it's a group of enemies working against one another. That's not the way it's meant to be. We're to be bruised by the wounding of one who loves us. Now, unfortunately, the first mental picture is physical bruising. It has nothing to do with brutality. Nothing. Brutality is never, never appropriate among people who love one another. Ever. You don't solve things with your fists. You solve them with your mouth. So the wounding happens when the truth is told and it leaves you with a bruise. That bruise is trustworthy. Believe me, you will not forget it. I can even remember the tone of the voice of my mentor who has reproved me. I remember how he said what he said. Bruised. Trustworthy is the bruise that lingers from the wounding of one who loves you. And then the alternative. Let me point out four things about this verse that you may have missed. Here's the first. The one who reproves should be one who loves you. The one who reproves should be one who loves you. You don't reprove a stranger, as I said earlier. You reprove those you love. Because, you see, those you love, you know. If you don't know a person well, silence the reproof. It's an offensive thing for you to reprove them if you don't know them. But if you know them, wise is the reprover. So, it should be one who loves us. Second, the bruise that's left lingers long after the wounding is over. The bruise that follows the blow lingers in the heart, in the mind, in the spirit. Matter of fact, there are certain reproofs you'll receive that you'll remember the rest of your life. And that's a good thing. Number three, friendship includes the freedom to confront. Friendship includes the freedom to confront. When you say, this person is one of my best friends, there ought to be some times in your relationship when there was reproof shared. It's the mark of a true friendship. Fourth, words of flattery represent deception, not love. Notice they're called the kisses of an enemy.
Let me repeat those verses where those four promises are found. Proverbs 15, verses 31 and 32 says, "He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding." You're listening to Insight for Living, and we're talking about accepting reproof from those who love us. We'll hear a final comment from Chuck Swindoll in just a moment, so please stay with us. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, we need to remind you that this classic series on biblical parenting will be concluding very soon. And so recently, we've highlighted a book Chuck has written. It's the perfect complement to this series, and one that belongs in every family's library. The title of Chuck's book is Parenting from Surviving to Thriving. Whether you're confronting someone you love or you're dealing with resentment or rebellion, this book is filled with biblical wisdom. To purchase a copy, just go online to insight.org/offer. Again, it's called Parenting from Surviving to Thriving. If you prefer, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. It goes without saying that our world has been fixated on the global pandemic as we work and pray toward the common goal of defeating the coronavirus. It's also given us ample time in our homes to read, listen, reflect, and grow. I'll encourage you to stop by our website and take advantage of all the resources prepared for you, including opportunities to listen to past programs and read articles of special interest to you. You'll find it all at insight.org. Chuck?
The pandemic has brought the global economy to its knees. In our lifetime, we've never witnessed anything like it, have we? But let's be absolutely clear. While it's true that world trade has come to a virtual standstill, the persistent challenges of daily life continue with more intensity than ever. Think for a moment. Yes, isolating in our homes has minimized our exposure to the coronavirus, but it's only intensified our daily engagement with those we love. If you want to test your patience as a mom or dad, just put everyone in the same household, locked in a stay-at-home mode for the foreseeable future. That's one of the many reasons I decided to present this series on biblical parenting. Our hope and our prayer is that these daily messages and the books we've made available to you will help moms and dads, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, and even grandparents learn to thrive. Today, it's very important for me to add this request. Our daily visits on radio and all of the resources offered through the website come with a price tag. They might arrive free to you, but they're not free to provide. So we deeply appreciate, and yes, we definitely need your generous financial support. We realize some of our listening family cannot give right now. That's understandable. But many of you can. As God prompts you to support Insight for Living Ministries, I can assure you that your contribution will be channeled directly into helping families around the world. Thank you for all the times you've entrusted us with your gifts and supported the work we do together. We need each other more than ever. I'm very grateful to walk this journey together with you. I really am.
All right, thanks, Chuck. To respond today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll concludes his message about accepting reproof from those who love us, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.